This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, as we continue along here on a Friday, looking to the weekend. Ohio State and Penn State in the Big Ten. Georgia's got a game against Texas A&M, and even though Georgia is in the SEC championship game as the representative from the East, if they were to stumble against a Texas A&M team that has only lost to top 10 opponents this season, if they should pull out the upset in Athens, it could open up the door to a bigger conversation as to the college football playoff. That would be the second loss, and even a win over LSU in the title game of the SEC would not put them in. One other thing to consider as we head into the latter weeks of the college football season is where the Heisman Trophy race stands. It's obvious Joe Burrow is leading. He's the odds-on favorite. I don't even know how they calculate this stuff, but I think the odds are that he's got a good lead in the odds compared to guys like Jalen Hurts and Justin Fields. But one thing to consider, and this has been brought up, which is look at the schedule that's remaining for the players that could still make a run at the Heisman Trophy late. Now, it's unlikely that Joe Burrow will lose this thing. He had his Heisman moment going just all out against Alabama in Tuscaloosa. But Burrow still has to play Arkansas, Texas A&M, and the SEC championship game at Georgia. If he doesn't have if he has a bad game against Arkansas, a really terrible team, or plays okay against Texas A&M to close out the season, what about Justin Fields' chances of climbing back into this? He's got a big game this weekend at home against Penn State and a good defensive front from the Nittany Lions. Then, of course, there's the game against Michigan. And then a Big Ten championship game against another top-ranked opponent. These next three games could really move up Justin Fields in the Heisman race if Burrow does struggle at all in any of his remaining three games that he's got left on his schedule. Is it likely to happen? Not really. I mean, Burrow has showed consistency all season. It's hard to believe he would choke it up against Arkansas or even Texas A&M for that matter. And I think the Georgia game, regardless of that outcome, I think he'd still be a lock to win the award. But listen, I've seen these late season players emerge. Just the thought that Justin Fields does have an opportunity to showcase his incredible talent and get some top line talent in the rest of the weeks.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it is the Grammy-nominated songs for 2019.
To be held in 2020.
That's right. When is the Grammys? February?
Yeah, usually, right?
That's what I think.
I don't know.
Now, I've heard this song, but who is this?
This is Post Malone.
Post Malone, with
Swae Lee. And the reason why you've heard this song, this song came straight from Into the Spider-Verse. Or came from Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, that's right. That's right, yeah.
This was a song.
That was a good movie. I enjoyed that movie.
That was a really good movie.
I had a fun time with Into the Spider-Verse.
I didn't think I would enjoy it. They are coming out with a sequel to it.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah, they announced
good.
It.
That was fun.
Earlier this week, they announced it.
It was like a holiday weekend, and I think it was down in Florida, and we had a choice to see that or Aquaman, and we all said Spider-Man, that one. I'm glad we made that choice. I don't know if Spider-Man's a good movie, and Aquaman is. I haven't seen it, but Into the Spider-Verse was good.
I've seen it. So. The ladies love it.
Yeah, of course they do.
Wouldn't they? I got to be honest. That's a good-looking human being, man.
I know.
Sorry,
yeah, he was Khal Drogo in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, he wasn't that good looking there.
Nah.
Once he grew his hair out, I'm looking at him like, you know what? I can't blame you. It's like him and Chris Hemsworth are up there. And I'm like, just, you know, something to be, something for you and I to be envious of.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Robert on Twitter, Irishman, plenty of Detroit footage. Hoffa's last known whereabouts was lunch in a suburban Bloomfield Township. I'm looking forward to seeing this too.
So how did he make it from Bloomfield Township to MetLife Stadium?
The MetLife Stadium, the swamps of the Meadowlands.
Because isn't he part of the foundation?
Yeah, that's the rumor. Have you ever seen the movie Hoffa with Jack Nicholson?
Yes.
Frank Whaley, the actor who plays the assassin at the end, every time I see that, he creeps me out as an actor.
Yeah.
Because he does that so coldly.
Wasn't there a movie he was in that was...
Oh, he's in a couple of movies.
Yeah, but
he
was in
Pulp Fiction. He was in Career Opportunities, I think, with Jennifer Connelly. But he was in Pulp Fiction, too. He was the guy that got shot by Samuel L. Jackson.
There was something else that he was in that's really bugging me.
Yeah, so he was
a popular 80s flick.
He was a cold assassin in that movie. That's still a tough scene in that movie. But I'm looking forward to The Irishman to have it come out. You know what I'm looking forward to this weekend is Penn State, Ohio State.
That might be a decent game.
Come on, that's going to be fun.
It could be a decent game.
It's not Ohio State, Michigan, but it's fun. Big Ten battle between two top teams. I think this one, look, I like James Franklin. I was a Vanderbilt season ticket holder when he was running the Commodores and getting them to bowl games. And actually had Vanderbilt playing on a level that maybe since Jay Cutler, I hadn't. But Jay Cutler never had a winning record. And James Franklin had a winning record with Vandy. And I like James Franklin a lot. I just don't think when push comes to shove in this game, and if it's low scoring, Penn State's got a chance. If it's high scoring, I just don't think they have the offense to compete. I just don't think they have the offense that can keep up with Ohio State in that game. But I think defensively, they have the ability to slow things down a little bit. I just don't know if offensively, if Ohio State figures out, if Justin Fields starts running a bit more and they get some points and score a lot, because that's what Ohio State can do. I just don't think Penn State can compete. I don't think they can come back in that game. So we're getting close to rivalry weekend. Next weekend is the big rivalry games.
No.
Yeah, no, I know. It's tough. You're denying it, but it's true.
Because that means that good final weekend.
That's
and
it.
And then we go to Championship Saturday.
Yep. It's going to be.
Can we insert a couple of weeks?
Yeah, this please? Is Thanksgiving week. Is you got games like you got games all day Friday in the afternoon. You've got games Saturday. I don't know if there are any Thursday Thanksgiving night games in college football this year.
Has there been in the past? I don't.
There's been
it's
like
always
a
dominated
couple.
By NFL, but if it is, it's usually like MAC.
Yeah,
football.
There's usually like some. Yeah, there is one. On Thanksgiving Day, Mississippi State and Ole Miss will be playing.
Yeah, nobody wants to see
and that's
that.
Going to be at the that's going to be night.
I don't even think Mississippi will watch that.
Yeah, you don't want to compete with the NFL. They got three games on. You don't want to go do that. That's the Egg Bowl. Egg Bowl in Starkville.
Dumb man.
That's well, I used to think that, and then people say, well, you know what? Back in 1872, they played for this egg that was the only property of old man Willikers, who donated his egg to the winning team and has some sort of play the violin type of story. And I'm like, oh, okay. But man, still kind of.
Why you got to spread those lies?
Well, I'm not saying that that's why the Egg Bowl is named. I'm just saying that every time I've gone down the road of that's a dumb thing or that's a dumb rivalry name, then somebody always goes, yeah, but here's the history, and it's always some sad story. Like when he went off to overseas in World War II, he promised his sweetheart. And then he was killed by a German bomb, but that sweetheart kept that thing and has been traded back and forth between the schools for the last 100 years or whatever it is. And you're like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to jump the gun on ripping the rivalry name. It's always something like that. So,
yeah, you know what? Thanksgiving Day, NFL, it's a decent slate.
Yeah, what's the slate on Thanksgiving? Because I know the Bills are playing the Cowboys, but what's the rest of the slate?
First game, Bears-Lions.
That's not bad. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean,
Bears are struggling, but still.
It's the Lions. I mean,
divisional game. That's fine.
Yep. We can have some fun. Bills, Cowboys, harking back to the Super Bowl 27-28.
Super Bowl 27 and 28. That's
yep.
right.
Maybe we'll have another, maybe we'll have a Leon Lett moment.
maybe we will.
Maybe just bring him and Don Beebe out on the field to reenact it.
Yeah. Oh, God. Shouldn't they do something like that?
Yeah. Do you think
has Leon Lett
wants
and
to?
Don, here's a question. Has Leon Lett. Or and Don Beebe ever met in public?
to just
yeah, like
they got to do traveling the road shows together.
Like one guy got like one guy didn't win the Super Bowl but became famous for the hustle play that every coach in America uses, and the other guy was embarrassed, but in the end he's got two rings, right? Like in the end, it's like, oh, okay, you got me, but
you know what?
Wearing the bling and
all right. If the NFL.
And I think BB does have a ring, by the way, with the Packers.
But if the NFL Network was to get into sitcoms, wouldn't that make a great Odd Couple?
That would be kind of funny. Yeah, exactly.
But the night game on Thanksgiving night, Saints-Falcons.
See, if the Falcons play good again, and this weekend they've got Tampa Bay, and that's a winnable game.
Yeah.
If they play good again and their defense plays, because guys, the Falcons have only given up field goals in two victories since the bye week,
yeah.
And we've been tearing them to shreds.
Let's not forget where that first victory came from.
It was in New Orleans.
In New Orleans.
In New Orleans.
This is a payback. This game has everything you would hope for.
So, guys, don't blow this off because the Falcons have a bad record. Whatever happened in the bye week, they fixed, at least for now, defensively. Monday morning, we could be like, well, they gave up 60 points. I have no idea how that happened. But the reality of it is that they have played very well since the bye week. We tore them up because defensively, they're supposed to be led by one of the smartest defensive minds in the game. And defensively, they were atrocious leading up to the bye week, losing six straight. Atrocious.
And it was the fact that because we gave them a pass last year.
Right.
Because you think, oh, you had this person, that person. Second year in a row, it's like, okay, yes, you have some key injuries, but seriously, dude, come on.
Yeah, Jenna Thomas told us that in our preseason preview. She's like, well, they were really beat up last year. Like, all right.
Yeah, well, we gave them a pass. We understand.
And this year, they lost six in a row, looked terrible since the bye. They've won back-to-back games in the division, Saints and Panthers, and held both teams to field goals, no touchdowns. So if they do something to Jameis Winston this weekend, like intercept him four times like everybody else is doing, then that game on the Thursday night becomes really fun. Interesting.
Oh, yeah.
It becomes interesting. You know, just throwing out the entertainment value for your Thanksgiving day.
I think even if the Falcons were to lose this weekend, I think it's interesting in the sense that it's a payback game.
Right.
Drew Brees and the Saints.
By the way, good on the NFL because if I'm the NFL and I'm trying to give Thanksgiving some pop, right? Some meat.
Yeah.
I don't schedule Dallas with Buffalo. And somehow this is working out to be one of the games of the weekend. The whole weekend.
Yeah. No, that's true.
Right? I mean,
well,
7-3 Bills.
Maybe you do because, you know, what's Thanksgiving? It's a coming together of family reminiscing. And then you throw, oh, you remember this old Super Bowl.
Maybe so.
It wasn't a great Super Bowl for one team.
That's true.
But, I mean, it is, you know, these two teams met in back-to-back Super Bowls, which it's never happened, right? Like, it's the only time it's happened where it's back-to-back? Same teams?
Let me think real quick.
I'm trying to think if Steelers in the 70s did.
No. The Steelers played the Cowboys and the Rams. And then the Vikings and the Cowboys.
Yeah.
So early on, yeah.
It was never
so,
back-to-back, though.
No, I don't think it was. I don't think back-to-back. I'd have to go through my Super Bowl list of 53 of them and to determine that. But I don't think I can come up with a back-to-back Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's, you know, there's a little bit of history for you.
Sure.
And if you're doing 100 years, I mean, why not throw a...
why not?
A historic thing.
That's true. And listen, you have the audience anyway, right? You don't have to compel
no.
them.
Yeah.
It's part of the Thanksgiving tradition for many people around the country, no matter what the matchup is. Couldn't care less who the Lions. When I grew up, the Lions had Barry Sanders, so it was still fun to watch. But most of the time, the Lions were terrible. I didn't care. I still watched the Lions play football.
It was
Thanksgiving. It was the Silverdome, Pontiac Silverdome. I didn't care. If it was Eric Hipple that was the quarterback,
who?
I didn't care. You know, Robert knows who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know. No, but
right,
you know,
I didn't care.
You know what
it was
you did
Thanksgiving
love?
Football. I was growing up in the middle of New Hampshire. It was freezing cold outside. I just watched football on my TV.
But you know what you did love about Thanksgiving football with the Detroit Lions? It was really the one time of the year all your focus got to be on Barry Sanders.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
For a long
that was cool.
stretch for 10 years.
Yeah, I didn't get a lot of Barry Sanders on my TV.
I always saw highlights.
Growing up in New England. So all I got was highlights, and it was my one time to really, really watch him.
Yep.
And that was it.
And sit at the edge of your seat and go, is this the one he does it? No, he didn't do it that time. Okay.
Yeah. So
is this the one? Oh, no, he didn't. Well, you know, maybe the next one.
And, of course, my brother being a Cowboys fan and my father being a Giants fan in the division, and the Cowboys were pretty decent in the 80s. We'd watch that. Of course we'd watch that.
Quick question for you. And maybe our listeners know the answer to this one, too. What game is harder to watch? because of Thanksgiving festivities.
Oh, good question.
The 3:30 game between the Cowboys, the 3:30 game. It doesn't matter the team, just the 3:30 game or the 7:30 game.
The 3:30 game in our house, we tend to do Thanksgiving a little, early.
So do we.
It's more like a brunch. No. I'm sorry. Linner. Whatever the terminology is. It's always like around 2:30-ish we start eating.
And so we're all in agreement that that early game is... we can watch that from beginning to end.
Early game's in. When I lived in Colorado, my wife and I used to argue all the time about the living room TV because I would want to watch the football, and then the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade was a tape-delayed thing and would be on, and she would want to see the parade, and I'm like, well, football's on right now.
You know what's good about the parade, that parade in particular? You just watch it real quick, and then you go, okay. You see one of the balloons, you see two of the balloons, you see people in New York City either dressed really warm or dressed really cold. And then that's it. You don't need to see all the balloons.
My wife's bucket list was to see it. I took her a couple of years ago. We went a couple of years ago to Manhattan to see it. It was really cool. It was great. And it's off her list now. So it was good. But we used to, in Colorado, we would argue about this all the time. Like, it's football's on right now. Why isn't it on my TV?
Yeah, what are these big balloons?
Exactly. Stop with these balloons. Like, I can tape this and you can watch it later while I watch the football that's live.
You got to watch it, especially now. My wife said the other day, she said, well, can't you just rewind the game? I'm like, no.
No, I can't do that.
You know how many people will spoil the ending for me?
No, I have no idea. Don't want to do that. All right, Good, the Bad, and the Dumb coming up this hour. All right, coming up, Michael actually threw us a question about movies I want to get to. That's coming up next. It's SB Nation AM.
We go together. Better than birds of a feather, you and me. We'll change the weather, yeah. We're feeling heat in December when you found me. I've been dancing.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio. Grammy songs leading us in on a Friday. Glad you could be with us. Jonas Brothers.
I'm happy you knew it was at least Jonas. You said, is this a Jonas Brothers?
I thought they split and was kind of dancing around and doing their thing.
They did their own thing. Now they're back.
Yeah.
They're back together where they need to be.
All right. That's good. I'm glad they're back together because they're brothers and they shouldn't be apart at all under any circumstances. Family's family. It's as thick as blood. Right? You can't go about, you can't like disappear and do your own thing. It's family, for crying out loud. So nevertheless. All right. So Michael on Twitter at Tony D Radio gave us a question, which was really cool. He asked us trilogies and who's played, because how did we get on that yesterday? We were talking about,
we were talking about Rocky.
Rocky, that's right.
And then he brought it up about the fact that Sylvester Stallone has played the same character twice in trilogies, or
right,
played the same character all the way through in two separate trilogies.
So he said, who has played the same character in a trilogy, at least three films, and has been in a trilogy twice? Before we get to the answer that Ron's come up with, trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Their professionals know what it takes to get the job done right. Professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Come see for yourself. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. You actually did research on this?
Well, it was quick.
Yeah, okay. Well, great. Still, that's awesome. Good for you.
Because it was bothering me, because one of the things he brought up was that he could only think of one actress. And you and I came up with probably the one actress he was thinking of, which was Talia Shire.
Right. Godfather and Rocky.
Godfather and Rocky. And you and I were sitting there like, God, you know, we can't think of another actress. And I really was leaving a bad taste in my mouth. It's like, I know that, you know, especially nowadays, there's got to be more actors. I mean, some of the ones that we came up with, we came up with Harrison Ford.
Yep. Keanu Reeves. Matt Damon.
Yep. All on this list.
That was the only one I had.
Then it gets kind of...
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger on that list?
No.
No, okay.
So, I'm not going to throw out all, because there's like 50 names on here.
Wow!
Yeah, a lot of people have done this. And then you have to also make the decision whether or not voice acting counts.
Nah, I'm going to say no.
No? So someone like Mike Myers.
Okay, yeah, I guess so.
Tom Hanks.
I guess so. What were the two that Tom Hanks was in? What were the two trilogies?
Toy Stories?
Yeah, well, there's another one. He's got to be
and
in
then,
two.
Then the Da Vinci Codes.
Oh, really? There's three Da Vinci Code movies?
Yeah. There's Da Vinci Code, Angels and Demons. And I can't remember what the third one was.
Oh, wow.
And then going off the cartoon version, Tim Allen.
Same thing.
Yeah, he was in he was Santa Claus.
Oh shoot, yeah, I forgot about him, and in Toy Story too.
And then Buzz Lightyear. So I mean, those are trilogies. Some of them I found funny. This one I thought was funny. John Cho.
Who's he?
He is Harold, part of Harold and Kumar.
Oh, okay.
And he's also Sulu in the Star Trek movies.
Oh, well, there you go. All right, well, there you go. I did not know that one.
Yeah, Samuel L. Jackson.
Well, this has to be obvious, right?
Samuel Jackson is in three trilogies. Mace Windu.
And give me the other one. Give me the other one.
Agent Augustus Gibbons from XXX.
Okay.
Nick Fury.
Oh, Nick Fury, of course. Why would I?
So that was what kind of opened the doors. Like all these Marvel movies, there's a ton. And now I'll give you a couple.
You know what? You know the game 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon?
Yes.
There's a caveat to 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon that you say, we're going to play 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon, but you can't use the movie JFK because everyone's in JFK and so is he. Mm-hmm. So in this situation, can you do that? Can you do this game without Marvel? without for the some Marvel of the universe?
For some of the actresses, no.
Right? Like everybody who's in that movie, it's like, yeah, we're all in multiple movies. That's how it works. So it does count. Like Tom Holland is already in a trilogy for crying out loud. He's like 22 years old.
Now two actors share a trilogy together, and that's Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson.
All right, give me those.
Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson both were in the Meet the Parents.
Yeah, the trilogy, the Meet the Fockers movies.
And then
yeah.
They were also in the Night of the Museum movies together.
Oh God, man, this is amazing. How I'm just totally forgetting.
I am sorry. Arnold Schwarzenegger is in.
Really?
Yeah, the Terminator movies, but he's also in the Expendables.
Wow, thanks, Michael. Look at the research he's done on this.
So here we go. Now to throw some actresses in there because we were all curious.
Right.
Yesterday. The first one on the list was Famke Janssen.
I know this actress.
Yeah, she's Jean Grey in the X-Men series.
Yes.
But she's also Lenore St. John in the Taken series.
Oh, okay. Okay, very good. She was also in Rounders with Matt Damon.
Yeah. Elizabeth Banks.
Oh, she was just in Charlie's Angels, that bomb.
Yep. Yeah. She's been in three trilogies.
Holy cow. Oh, Hunger Games.
Hunger Games. Spider-Man.
Who's she playing Spider-Man?
Betty Brant.
Okay.
And then she's also Gale in Pitch Perfect.
She is Pitch Perfect.
Yep.
So wow.
To bring up another Pitch Perfect actress, what's her name? Anna Kendrick.
Anna Kendrick. She was in Twilight.
She was in Twilight.
Yep.
So, I mean, there's a lot. I was surprised. Now, Jennifer Lawrence.
She was in Hunger Games, but what else?
She's in the X-Men, the newer X-Men.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, she was the younger version of I can't remember the superhero's name or the villain's name. But she was in that, too.
Yep. Ice
Mystique.
Cube.
I think it was Mystique.
Yeah, Mystique.
Yeah.
Ice Cube.
Ice Cube. All right. Ice Cube is in...
Friday,
of course. Oh, of course. How could I forget that?
That's today.
I didn't know there was a trilogy.
Yep, that's a trilogy. There's three of them.
It was Friday, next Friday, and the day after Friday?
Yeah, Friday after next or something.
Friday after next, okay.
And the Barbershop movies.
Oh, yeah, the Barbershop movies, of course.
Cool. This one, Anna Faris. Now, does this one count with Anna Faris? I guess if we include, because she was the voice of Jeanette in Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Oh, God, that's a push.
And she was in the scary movies.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. Wow.
So, yeah, I was really surprised.
So this was a perplexing question we got on Twitter, and you went out and did the research, you hit a home run on this one.
The problem was that it was bothering me.
Yeah.
Okay? Because I was like, there's got to be actors. Because one actress, this is the actress I was stumped on, was Natalie Portman.
Well, she was in the Phantom Menace movies.
She was Queen Amidala. But she also played she played herself in the Thor movies. Even though she wasn't in the third Thor movie, but she did make an appearance in Endgame.
All right.
As that actress.
Yeah, sure.
So does that count?
I would, yes. Knocking in the yes column. Good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next. Michael, very good question on Twitter.
Thanks,
Michael. It had Ron thinking and researching, so you get double brownie points for that. SB Nation AM.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue on a Friday. You're on SB Nation AM. So you're heading into the weekend. You want to feel good, so here's the good of the day.
Yeah, the good of the day. You probably caught this at the end of the game between Texans and Colts. If you stuck around and watched the little postgame, I was trying to find the audio. Couldn't find the audio for it. But Bill O'Brien, comes into the locker room, and he's telling his guys how great of a victory that was. You know, they still got some things they need to work on, but how great of a win that was.
Yeah.
And then he's just going on and on talking about, you know, we did this right, we did this great, we played well here, we did that, you know, just highlighting certain things. And then to wrap it all up, he goes, "All right, boys, see you Monday."
Gives them the weekend off.
And the locker room went nuts. And I'm saying, I'm thinking they cheered harder for that than they did for actually beating the Colts.
Gave them the weekend off.
But they
good for him.
The part that I was trying to find was immediately afterwards, it went right back to Troy Aikman and Joe Buck. And Joe Buck was like, "Oh, look at that. They're getting the weekend off." And Troy Aikman was like, "Man, you won't find a happier pro football player who's just been told they get days off."
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Yeah, I did not see that at the end. I turned it off, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I did not know that. Good for him.
I mean, it's one of those rare glimpses we don't really get to see, you know, and Troy Aikman actually went into a little bit more. He's like, you know, being a professional football player, when you're given days off, that's one of the most exciting things. And, you know, just being told you have the whole weekend.
And, you know, these guys with their quick access to jets and things, they're going to be at football games on Saturday, their alma mater flying, you know, where a quick flight to Honolulu, a quick flight to the Bahamas, you know, just something like that, because they don't have to, you know, they don't travel like us plebes. I mean, they are like, charter a plane now to this island tonight and let me get on it. And they're just going to be relaxing and fun, and then come back on Sunday night, get ready for Monday. Great job, Bill O'Brien.
I know it gave you those warm fuzzies.
Yeah, basically. Good. Great job. Great. Enjoy your 3-day weekend.
Yep.
That's right. Because they'll be working through Thanksgiving. You know, they're not getting Thanksgiving off. They're going to be having to get ready. Even if they don't play on Thanksgiving, you play on Sunday. You got to work. Got to work that week. You're going to maybe get some time a little bit, but you got to be at practice. It's a normal game week without a break.
And I think, and this is kind of a good thing too, because I'm pretty sure, it was a short week for him anyways.
You're right. Right. So they were on a short week. They put a lot of work in. They won the game, and now they get 3 days off. Good for them. That's great. All right, that does feel good. All right, so what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, I mean, take it for what you will. I think it's kind of bad. Floyd Mayweather's, there's rumors that he's planning on coming out of retirement in 2020.
Really?
But he wants to collaborate with the UFC.
Oh, no, don't do that.
I don't really know what to make of that.
I think it's an ego involved. I think he wants to prove he can do it. But I wouldn't do it. Mayweather. You've got all the money in the world. And
he teased a photo, an Instagram photo. It says Dana White and I. He's sitting next to Dana White. Looks like maybe it's courtside of the Celtics game. And it's just Dana White and I working together again to bring the world another spectacular event in 2020. So I'm hoping.
Could he be behind the scenes
on
that?
I'm hoping it's behind the scenes, because I would hate for him to go in and, you know, try to MMA. I don't know. Can you say it that way? I don't even know if you say it that way.
No, I don't. I would be very nervous if he did. I wouldn't go down that road if I was him. But maybe he's doing something with him involved behind the scenes or as a promoter or something along those lines. I don't know. But, yeah, I don't like that idea. I don't like that idea.
I mean, I'm certain there's a section out there of people who really are like, "Oh, my God, I can't wait for him to come back." Yes.
Sure.
But, I mean, just for me personally, I think he's 42. I think that's what I read. He's 42 years old. Just leave your career at 50-0.
Yeah.
It's a great number.
Good number. It's tight.
Yep.
Great.
Undefeated.
No other blemish. Roll along.
It's not like you need more money.
No.
At least I hope not. Because if you do, that's really scary.
He probably doesn't. But he probably is one of those guys that thinks, you know, more money is always good money. It's never enough. Maybe that's the case.
I know, but I mean, he makes, like, each fight, what is it? He pulls in, like, couple hundred million, doesn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
So you're fine.
He's good.
Don't need to do anything.
All right. Well, then what's the dumb of the day today? Because that doesn't feel like it's smart.
No, that could have been dumb, too. But the dumb of the day I reserve for Elon Musk.
I saw this, but I don't know much about it. But I'm glad you brought it up. Go ahead.
There's two parts to this dumb. One is he was showcasing, I guess, Tesla. His Tesla company is unveiling a pickup truck, which looks anything but a pickup truck. So if you haven't had the chance, you probably just have to Google Elon Musk. It'll probably be one of the first photos that pops up. They're debuting a pickup truck or premiering or showing, unveiling a pickup truck that it looks more like the stealth fighter than anything else.
Yeah, it's got this weird look to it.
A weird look to it. But the reasoning behind it, and you have to check out the video from this, is that he is going on and on about its armored windows. And he invites someone up on stage to throw a rock at the armored window.
So is this...
You'll never guess what happened.
It busts. Really?
Okay. The rock didn't go through it. But you would think an armored window would probably just bounce off, right?
Right. Yeah, if it's an armored window, it's absolutely going to bounce off. Supposed to stop bullets.
Right. You wouldn't think you'd have to replace said window.
That you do.
So, and then he was like, okay, it didn't go through. Here, try it again. Can you guess what happened the second time around?
It went through again.
It shattered the window.
Some engineer needs to get canned. Or, I don't know, test it out before you take it out to the public.
Because it was funny because he said, well, maybe you threw it too hard. on the first one. The second one, the guy barely throws it. I mean, he literally lobs it at the window and the window shatters again. I mean, both times the rock didn't go through the window.
So it's supposed to be a bulletproof car, a bulletproof truck?
I don't know if it's supposed to be bulletproof. It just says armored windows, which...
All right.
I mean, then I would assume. I mean, you look at the truck, it looks bulletproof because it's all chrome and silver and, it looks like a mini tank.
What's the appeal of a Tesla? Is that it's electric or is it an electric car that's really fantastic?
I think it's an electric car that's fantastic. And then I think it's the other perks that are coming with it where now they're starting to, they're venturing into self-driving cars.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's video. You'll see video of people just kicking back. I remember seeing a video of a guy asleep.
The first self-driving car that hits the market, real market, not like I'm a billionaire and I'm getting one early. I mean, I can go down to the Nashville dealer and buy one. How much do you think that will cost? Six figures?
Probably.
Got to be, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
A self-driving car, the first one, like literally... An average person going, you know what they have on the lot at John Michael's Chevrolet? They've got a fleet of 50 self-driving cars for sale. Let's go down and check it out. I would think that's got to be a six-figure price tag.
I would think so,
too.
On
the first self-driving car. Then, of course, by the time my kid's a grandfather, they'll be, average. But average price would be standard.
It's 2019. We were supposed to have flying cars.
That's true.
We were led to believe that was going to happen back to the future.
We were. Although Neil deGrasse Tyson said, if the scientists were right and knew the physics, they would have known you were never getting a flying car.
Oh, they probably knew.
Because the physics are impossible for the kind of takeoff of the force. The force that you would need to lift a car off the ground would be tremendous.
Well, that's why we're supposed to have those, gravity defying wheels and whatnot.
Right.
That's exactly. What's supposed to propel us off the ground, not having wings and needing lift and all that fun stuff.
So
you get an airplane off the ground.
It's like, can you still buy stick shifts? Are there cars?
Yes. No, you can.
Stick shifts? Okay.
You can.
So I feel like every car I've seen, I went car shopping and not one car was a stick shift that I test drove.
I think you still can. I think it's reserved more for sports cars.
Maybe if you ask for it. Right. I used to love my stick. I had a Honda that was a manual transmission. I loved it.
Except it was always a pain if you were in traffic.
Yeah, that's true. I hated that part of it. And I was in Denver traffic a lot.
Yeah.
But
I hated it. It was constant. It's annoying. Concentration.
Yeah. But still,
you try to get into that slow roll in the first gear. Just like, let me just stay at this speed, guys. Come on.
So one day owning a car that's not self-driving will be like, well, what are you doing? That's an antique machine.
I remember the first time I saw that in a movie. It was Jean-Claude Van Damme's Time Cop.
He was in a self-driving car?
It was a movie that, you know, obviously that was like in the, I think it was set in the, or the movie was made in the late 80s, early 90s, but it was set in the future. And he came back. He was a time cop. He would go through space travel to thwart people because time travel was available for everyone. And he would be the guy who would go in and stop people from altering history because people would constantly try to alter history.
Right.
So that's how he became time cop. And he came back from work and he jumped in his car and he goes, you know, take me home or whatever. And he just passed out in the car. And I always thought, I was like, God, I cannot wait for that.
You apparently didn't watch Knight Rider when you were a kid.
No, I watched Knight Rider when I was a kid.
Kid did the exact same thing. There was an episode where Michael Knight was playing Pac-Man
but the problem
in the car
was,
while Kit was driving him.
Yeah, but the problem with Knight Rider is that car wouldn't shut up.
Yeah, that car did want to talk all the time.
Just kept talking all the time.
All the time. All the time. But still. All right, way to go, Elon Musk, with the bulletproof, non-bulletproof, glass-breaking
car.
Check
out that video. It just, I mean,
I bet he drove him nuts. Inside, he was probably burning alive.
And he had to comment, too. He's like, well.
Oh, boy. I don't know, man.
Probably not good to be doing this in front of the investors.
He's worth, like, what, $20 billion or something
He's probably still got to have investors.
He still have investors. That's true. The Cybertruck. Good job, Elon Musk. Yeah, all right, we'll check it out down the road. I got to check that video out because I'm a sucker for those kind of things, kind of online, you know, video failures, if you will. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb on a Friday. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
Yeah, I'm going to take my horse through the old town road. I'm going to ride till I can't no more. I'm going to take my horse through the old town road. I'm going to ride till I can't no more.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
This song was number one for a long time.
Anyway, can we say it was the song of the summer, right?
It was. It was the song of the summer. I mean, it was really a long time on the number one song in the country. We're doing Grammy songs as the Grammy announcements were made earlier this week. These are the songs that are Song of the Year, Artist of the Year, Album of the Year, etc., etc. This hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I wanted to bring this up because you, as a Dodger fan, I wanted to know your thoughts. Listen to this. Yasmani Grandal, who is now signed with the White Sox, was on a local Chicago radio station. This is what he had to say about the Astros sign-stealing scandal. Remember, the Astros beat his Dodgers in the World Series, as everybody said. He said, quote, "They're doing whatever they can to win. If you're not cheating, you're not trying, I guess. It got them a ring. The past is the past. It happened. People found out. Now let's do something to fix it and keep going on." All right, listen. He doesn't have a responsibility on this, but is this an irresponsible statement of the assumption that we're all just going to live with this and it's just a foregone conclusion the Astros actually did this? The way he's talking about it, he's not saying, "Well, I didn't notice anything," or "I didn't feel like they did," or I don't know if they did or not. He's just basically going, "Yeah, you know, what are you going to do, right? I mean, they won, they did what they had to do. Let's just move on and, you know, let's fix it from ever happening again." Like, he's already giving the presumption that the Astros did this.
I'm going to defend it a little bit this way.
Okay, go ahead.
Because even though he's no longer with us, and I don't mean dead, but he is dead to us Dodger fans. I think it's more in the sense of, like, you know what, let's just move on. Who cares?
Yes and no, but he implicates.
What are we going to do about it?
I don't know, man.
Can't do anything about it.
No. You listen, this is a reputation of a franchise.
We're not
even though he didn't play more.
Put an asterisk next to him.
No one is. You're missing the. You've just missed
no,
the
I'm
entire
not missing
point.
The point. I'm not
no,
missing
sorry,
the point.
Sorry, you did.
No,
you did.
I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
I know where you're going with it.